Happy Friday. Welcome into the Friday edition of Sports Talk. Evan Kahn in for the final time this week. Scott Beatty just got done with Illinois softball at the Big Ten tournament. He'll be back on Tuesday, back on Monday, but first, here tonight is Matt Daniels. Matt, we have a mutual interest in the Cubs winning this weekend, so I think we can be friends this Friday.
Thanks, Evan. I'm glad we can reach that peace accord, at least for one day, but tough ending to the season, or the Big Ten tournament. Not sure if it's a season for Illinois softball this afternoon. Took top seed of Michigan down to the wire and went extra innings. Michigan won 1-0 on a walk-off homer in the bottom of the eighth there over in Bloomington, Indiana, and Scott was on the call, and just a heartbreaking way for Illinois to end their Big Ten tournament. They had high aspirations this season. Don't know if that'll be the end of the season. They'll find out Sunday night with the selection show, but certainly would have helped their case if they were able to upset the Wolverines this afternoon.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to start. Softball.
Sorry I stole your thunder.
No, it's perfect. it's like you have the rundown and you know what we're going to talk about here today. But a great performance by Taylor Edwards going 7-plus innings, not allowing a run until that eighth inning. I think it might have been the first pitch that she hit that walk-off home run, but a nice job by Taylor. Hopefully not her last start as an Illini, and Tyra Perry talking after the game. She wasn't confident that they were in, but mm-hmm. she made it sound like she thinks that they've got a chance at least to be considered for one of those spots.
Yeah, and what a gutsy effort by Taylor Edwards, you know, a senior for Illinois, a local connection, being from Arcola, and she was a four-sport athlete in high school with the Purple Riders, played volleyball, basketball, softball, and ran track and field, and had an injury her senior year at Arcola High School, so she really wasn't able to pitch that much. And, you know, when she committed to Illinois, it was, I wouldn't say a little surprising at all, but it's a different brand of softball pitching against the little Ocala Valley teams like she did in high school compared to the Big Ten, and she really showed her worth throughout her career at Illinois. She was just a dependable starter, a team leader, you know, someone that everyone could really rely on, and she showed out today out in Bloomington throwing 7 shutout innings, and I'm sure she'd like that one pitch back, but her defense helped her out immensely too. And yeah, Illinois is an interesting situation going into Sunday night. They finished the regular season now at 32-23. They're headed at number 44 RPI going into the Big Ten tournament. They're 7-15 going into today against teams in the top 50. Now they're 7-16 after that loss to Michigan. And there are probably a handful of games throughout the regular season that they'd certainly like back. A couple close one-run losses that they had. And we'll see if it's enough to get them in. Now they got to kind of turn the other way and hope for some teams that are supposed to win their conference tournaments actually end up doing that over the next 2 days so they don't have to, you know, the bubble doesn't pop for them.
Yeah, it's like the basketball mm-hmm. thing
yeah,
where
exactly.
where if the teams that are supposed to get in don't get their automatic bids, and then that pushes them out. And that 44 ranking, same size field, 64, mm-hmm. but you mentioned that record against the top 50. It doesn't look so pretty, and that might work against them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, their strength of schedule, kudos to Illinois for putting together a pretty formidable non-conference schedule. You know, they saw Oklahoma State, Kentucky to start the season. They played Oklahoma, who's the top team in the country, and the Big Ten portion of the schedule is their most difficult that they might have had in 20 years of program history, you know, playing Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, who's on to the Big Ten semifinals, and will play Michigan tomorrow. They took 2 out of 3 from the Badgers earlier this season, but some missed opportunities throughout the course of the season, and that's always something that comes back to bite teams, you know, at this point in the season, if they are sitting kind of on that fence of whether they're going to get into the NCAA tournament or not. But still a pretty solid season for Illinois softball, and Tyra Perry just in her fourth season has really kind of changed the expectations for the program. They expect to be in the NCAA tournament every year, and we'll see if that comes true on Sunday night.
When you do that in your first year, it kind of sets the expectations a little high, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And she made the tournament her first two seasons at Illinois in 2016-17. Last year had a better record than this year's group. They finished 37-18, lost in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament in walk-off fashion too last year, but they didn't get into the field last year, so we'll have to wait and see if they'll do that then. And also Illinois football, you're gonna have to wait a little bit more to possibly get a grad transfer quarterback. We can talk about that more later on in the show.
Yeah, we'll just do one more softball note real quick because you brought up Oklahoma. They actually won their 39th straight game today, which is a single-season record for softball. They're chasing the Arizona Wildcats from 96-97 that won 47 straight between two seasons. But, yes, some news coming out. I guess more clarifying that there wasn't news coming out earlier this week. Supposed grad transfer quarterback Matt Fink tweeted out, quote, "To clarify, I am not committed to any school at the moment. I am in the process of deciding and still looking for other opportunities." I saw somewhere that possibly his dad might have let it slip a little early, but it sounds like Illinois still has a lot of freshman quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Monday evening was kind of the time around here where Matt Fink's father told the Los Angeles Times that his son was coming to Illinois, and it seemed to be the right opportunity and a place where he could probably come in and compete for the starting job. And, you know, Illinois didn't confirm the news on Monday night, and a few people close to the program that I spoke to said he had a great visit here last weekend, although every visit that a recruit takes is usually a really good visit. But there was nothing, you know, formal or official in that. And then Fink hadn't, you know, usually what you see with recruiting today, and no matter high school or grad transfer, they take to social media and declare their plans publicly. And I hadn't seen anything from that from Fink for a few days. And then this afternoon, he tweeted out that short little two-sentence statement. So, we said reportedly throughout the week he was coming here, but he may still come here. Who knows? But I do know the Illinois football season starts in about 3.5 months, and who the starting quarterback is really unclear at the moment. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that process plays itself out. And Tommy Stevens is still in the mix, another grad transfer quarterback out of Penn State who was on campus last weekend and then set up another visit after he left Champaign to go to Kentucky. He's supposed to visit Mississippi State as well, which is the presumed favorite based on the relationship that Stevens has with Joe Moorhead, the Mississippi State coach who was his offensive coordinator at Penn State early on in his career. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It's going to be another training camp. The number one storyline going into training camp is who the starting quarterback at Illinois is going to be, and it may be you may have a better feel for it after a few days, depending who commits here and in terms of a grad transfer at all, like was the case last year where you had Cam Thomas as the Illinois quarterback, the only scholarship quarterback that Illinois had throughout spring ball last year, and he was kind of the presumed guy, and then it became clear after, you know, 3 or 4 days of training camp last year that A.J. Bush, the grad transfer, was the guy and going to be the guy. So we'll have to wait and find out what happens on the quarterback front. But another off season with uncertainty at quarterback for Illinois.
Well, and that makes for some entertaining drama. Who doesn't hate or who doesn't love a quarterback controversy? We don't get ESPN coverage on it, which would be wall to wall. But yeah, true. You said it the last couple of 3 years. Just kind of a revolving door trying to figure out that quarterback, especially when you keep bringing in grad transfers. It doesn't really stabilize that position. And then you've got freshman quarterbacks who might play a little bit, and mm-hmm. then they're gone, like Cam Thomas.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, quarterbacks transferring is nothing new. It's you know, a staple of college football these days. And you look at the last two Heisman Trophy winners, and Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, they both were transfer quarterbacks and
watch out for gravity
there you go. My headphones fell off there a little bit, but we move right on this Friday evening. Cam Newton too, another transfer, started his career at Florida, went to Auburn, did pretty well there. Some murky circumstances with that, I guess, but yeah, it's the Illinois quarterback position for, you know, from the time you look back to when Kirk Kittner was here. He started as a true freshman and then really took hold of that position, you know, the next three seasons. And that was kind of the last consistent shining period for Illinois football. You know, they won the Big Ten in 2001, went to the Sugar Bowl as a senior when Kittner was a senior that year. And then kind of had some, you know, John Buecher came in, another transfer from Iowa, kind of stabilized it for a few seasons, but he was never really the guy. He had Dustin Ward, a local product from Champaign Centennial, in the mix there too. And then, You know, Juice Williams came in, played it a little bit as a freshman, and then really took off as a sophomore and helped Illinois get to the Rose Bowl. And then we had Juice Williams followed by Nathan Shielhouse, who was four seasons. He was the guy. So Illinois kind of enjoyed this 8 to 9 year period where you knew who the quarterback was going to be. And they kind of had that a little bit with Wes Lunt when he was here, but he didn't start his college career at Illinois, started at Oklahoma State before the Rochester native transferred back to his home state school. And he threw for a bunch of yards, but was never able to really stay healthy. And a lot of off the field distractions that were beyond Lunt's control really kind of overshadowed his tenure at Illinois. And, you know, ever since Lovie Smith's been here, it's kind of been a revolving door at quarterback. They've had four guys that have started at quarterback since 2016 who are on scholarship who have transferred out. And then you also add another fact too, and I didn't even realize this until thinking about it earlier this week, but he had other scholarship quarterbacks like Jimmy Fitzgerald, Centennial Product, and Eli Peters, who signed with Illinois out of Jacksonville, Florida. They both started their career here at Illinois, but then they transferred elsewhere. Again, there was coaching change, you know, from Tim Beckman to Bill Kiewit to Lovie Smith, which all obviously played a role in that as well. But it's really just been a revolving door of quarterbacks here these last four seasons for Illinois.
And you, it sounded like you were kind of hinting at the stability kind of helps out a program. And Shielhouse was a fine quarterback, and Illinois really didn't go over the top. But you had a feeling going into the season, at least you had a guy right there under center, right, who knew the system and would give you a chance to win.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what Rod Smith was able to do in his first season as offensive coordinator at Illinois, there were some down moments in the offense last year, but I think the positives outweighed the negatives, especially considering how bad they were in 2017 under Garrick McGee. And you'd have to think that whoever the quarterback is this season, it might just be as kind of a, for lack of a better word, just as a placeholder until Isaiah Williams really kind of starts to shine and see what his vast potential might be. Maybe he just wows everyone during training camp in August. There's going to be a lot of eyes on him and what he can do based on his pedigree at Trinity Catholic in St. Louis. Was the Gatorade State Player of the Year in Missouri his junior and senior seasons. He's not the biggest guy at 5'10", 170 pounds. I'm sure he'll add a little bit more to that frame, but Kyler Murley just really kind of revolutionized the quarterback position for quarterbacks under, you know, 5'11 and what he did at Oklahoma last year. And I'm not saying Isaiah Williams is going to be the next Kyler Murray or anything like that, but I think he gives Illinois fans who are kind of, you know, a little pessimistic about the quarterback job, quarterback spot, a little hope for the future. I think too, you just don't want to see him trot out there and have him, unless he is really, really good in 2019, have him go out there and just, you know, the offensive line doesn't block for him. He struggles with blitzes. He gets hit a lot, things like that. You want to see him have the ability to start for, you know, three-plus seasons and really kind of become the face of the program for Illinois.
And that's huge. Your Murray point. I was in that boat whenever I saw that he signed, and the numbers were even lower than that they were reporting. They're saying like 5'8", 5'9", maybe 150 to 160. And yeah, that does give you a little pause, especially when he's a guy that uses his legs. So he's not going to be in the pocket, and then he's going to get out of the pocket, and then he's got to face 200-pound men. So it'll be interesting to see how that transitions, and of course, if there is another quarterback to come in. So once training camp and they find out the quarterbacks, we'll get into a longer discussion about that. Just real quick here before we get to break, and we'll talk about this a little later. We've got Illinois baseball coming up at 5:50 here on DWS, the last home series for the Illini as they take on Purdue. It's also Dave Lone's last home series, so we're going to get him to hop on with us for a few minutes to preview the game and talk about that. But the news yesterday, and we discussed it on the program, Ben Troike officially out for the season. They've got some backups and some reserves that can fill in when you've got Michael Massey going back into the field, and then Kamiya, who's been the second baseman for a lot of the season, shifting over. So they maybe lose a little bit in experience per se, but not so much actually in the field.
Yeah, I mean, it is a loss just with Troike's veteran ability and, you know, kind of his steadiness there in the middle infield at all, but it hasn't been, you know, the the usual Troike Massey double play combination pretty much all season. So Brandon Comey has really filled in well as a freshman for the Illini. And, you know, Illinois shown an ability just to be able to grind out some wins this year. And we'll see what Comey does now shifting over to shortstop. It is a loss for Illinois anytime you lose a veteran experienced player like Troike. But they've got a lot of other veteran guys on the team that have really stepped up this season. Michael Massey, Jack Yalowitz, Zach Taylor, Garrett Acton. I mean, who knew Garrett Acton a year ago, and now he's leading the country in saves after a season at Parkland. That's an incredible story for not only him, but for Illinois baseball as well. And it's a really big series for Illinois this weekend against Purdue, final home series before they go to Michigan State next weekend. And they still can jockey around in the Big Ten standings and, you know, try to get a better seed for the Big Ten tournament and obviously improve their NCAA tournament resume as well in the process.
Yep, we got 90s night tonight at the ballpark. Honor and Serve Day tomorrow. They got some really cool uniforms for that they will auction off afterwards. And then, of course, Sunday is Senior Day. We'll talk about this with Dave Lone here coming up later on in the show. We got to take our first break. When we come back, baseball news today, but first, an old friend set a record or moved up the ranks. We'll talk about it after this.
You're listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 1400.
Funky Friday edition of Sports Talk. Evan Kahn, Matt Daniels with you. There was the highlight courtesy of Fox Sports California. Albert Pujols hitting his 639th career home run, which he was in sixth place and he stays sixth place, but it was his 2000th RBI, which he becomes only the third player in MLB history to do that. Hank Aaron and Alex Rodriguez, the other two. This, of course, happened yesterday. We had a jam-packed show, me and Michael Kaiser, so we didn't get to it. But I feel like it's important, right? Albert Pujols, arguably the best player of the 2010s, came up as a force. He, in his first 10 seasons with the Cardinals, had 100 RBIs, ended up doing it three times with the Angels. He also had two 90 RBI seasons. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. There ain't no doubt about it. But just for him to still be going when people really question that contract hasn't necessarily panned out the last 3 years. He was a above league average hitter his first 5 years for the Angels. But to see him over the last 2 to 3 years, he hit the 3,000 hit mark. He hit the 600 home run. And now he's got the 2,000 RBIs. Just a really cool thing for a guy that I watched growing up. And
yeah,
you watched him all through his prime.
So. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was arguably one of the best hitters in St. Louis Cardinals history, and he'll go down in the record books as one of the great hitters to ever play the game. And you always are skeptical when players get long-term contracts like what he did after the 2011 season. We signed, a 10-year deal with the Angels worth, I think, $240 or $250 million. And you're never quite sure how a player is going to perform once they get past a certain age in their career. But you know, it made sense for him to go to the American League. That way he can be almost a full-time DH, which is what he is now. And that really, too, just kind of does a disservice to him as well as a defensive first baseman, because when he was in his prime with the Cardinals, there was probably no better defensive first baseman in terms of just saving runs and helping pitchers out with his ability to navigate around the base. And really, ever since he left, the Cardinals struggled to find just an adequate defensive replacement for him at first base. Now they got Paul Goldschmidt, who I think is kind of on that same level in terms of defense and provides that solid bat that you want to see. And it's just a credit to Pujols, his longevity, and you know, he's had some injury issues that he's had to deal with, but he's a guy that, you know, not much was expected of him when he you know, got drafted by the Cardinals. I think he was a 13th round pick out of a junior college there over near Kansas City. And you know, started in the outfield, I think, his first game with the Cardinals, and saw some time at third base as well before the Cardinals got Scott Rolen. And, you know, he'll go down as, you know, one of the most iconic players in the game. And I know folks in St. Louis are really looking forward to next month at Busch Stadium when the Angels pay a visit for a weekend three-game series. I think they're almost already sold out for all three of those games. So it should be really cool moment for Pujols and his family, who's done so much charity-wise too in the St. Louis area and giving back. So it's just another great milestone for one of the game's greatest players.
That's It's been 8 years, so it's mm-hmm. not his first time back, is it?
I think it is.
Probably, or was injured, or
no?
For
I don't.
Some
I
reason.
Don't think the Angels have.
They
ever,
just haven't.
Yeah,
just haven't traveled to St. Louis.
The weird, funky interleague schedule that is a staple now. You know, Evan and I were kids when interleague play first came about, and now it's just, you know, every day there's an interleague game, so it's not even a huge taboo issue like it once was when it was brought up more than 20 years ago. But I think enough time has passed. I know when he left St. Louis, there was some hard feelings, I'd say, from Cardinals fan, just because he was still considered one of the best players in the game, and maybe it was eased off a bit because he left right after they won the World Series in 2011, and he helped them win two World Series during his time there. But and in hindsight too, I don't think the Cardinals, I know they gave Paul Goldschmidt a 5-year, $130 million contract this offseason, but 8 years ago, I don't think the Cardinals were, if they would have considered a deal that Pujols got with the Angels, that wasn't really feasible for them at the time. And he's had some moments in his time out in Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim is what their official title is, but hasn't tasted that postseason success like he had in St. Louis. And it's a shame too, if you're just a baseball fan, because his teammate Mike Trout is arguably might go down as even a better player than Pujols, you know, 50, 75 years from now when people look back on his career. But it'll be an exciting moment for baseball next month when Pujols comes back to St. Louis.
A couple other interesting, cool, I don't know, I just found some notes on Albert looking today. And I knew this a couple years back. He set the all-time record for most ground into double plays for a career. He's got that fully cemented. I don't know if anybody will ever hit into more double plays than Albert Pujols. But a positive, in his first 10 seasons, he finished in the top 10 in the MVP. That's just utterly insane. It doesn't happen. And then I looked back because I was trying to remember. I remember when he signed his first extension with the Cardinals. I remember it being $100 million, mm-hmm. and I thought that was a huge deal. And I looked it up. He signed it after his third full season. Obviously, full season because he started mm-hmm. opening day in 2001. The Cardinals actually, they get to pay Albert Pujols for the next 10 years. Part of that extension was $1.2 million deferred from 2020 to 2029. So maybe that played into the Cardinals not wanting to pay him mm-hmm. that long-term contract, because then they would have been paying him twice. But I digress. Some other just real quick baseball going on today. The Cubs lost to the Brewers 7-0. Quintana looked all right. The defense did not look good. Chris Bryant's on base streak extends to 20 games, and they play again tomorrow. The Cardinals take on the Pirates after a huge offensive output from the Cardinals last night, 17-4. They got Wainwright going against Trevor Williams. That one's a 7:15 start. And then the White Sox and the Blue Jays getting ready to get underway here in a few minutes. A 6:00 first pitch, Dylan Covey against Clayton Buchholz, who I can't believe it is still pitching. He's throwing for the Blue Jays. All right,
should be an entertaining night in Toronto.
Oh, yeah, just a riveting matchup there. I hope you guys all tune in for that. I hope you guys stay tuned. We've got the one and only Dave Lone joining us to preview Illinois baseball after this break.
You're listening to Sports Talk on DWS.
A shortened Funky Friday edition of Sports Talk here as we get ready for Illinois baseball. And who better to preview the Illinois baseball game than the man who watches them every game, Dave Lone, live at Illinois Field. Dave, how you doing tonight? We got Purdue coming to town, who ended Illinois season last year. What do you remember about the game last year, and what are you looking forward to this weekend?
Well, I think, and great to be on the show with you guys as always. And you're doing a great job. Glad that we have depth on our staff. That's for sure.
Appreciate it.
You know, last year I think the thinking was more about where this team is going to be in the NCAA tournament. I mean, I thought we were a lock, and we didn't get in. So maybe that loss that you're talking about last year is something that kept us out. So as far as last year's team is concerned, and that ball game, I don't know. I think my focus was on something a little different maybe than the way the season ended. But this year we've got a very interesting situation here for Illinois baseball, in the sense that as the game starts tonight, the RPI for Illinois baseball is 18th in the country, yet this team is 6th in the Big Ten, you know, 6th in the conference, and still fighting to get in the conference tournament. I mean, we're just two games to the good, if you will, of that 8th place cutoff to go to Omaha. So still a lot on the line for this team, I would think, over the next couple of weekends.
Dave, you've got this is Matt Daniels. You've got more Illinois baseball games, obviously a three-game series with Purdue this week. You go to Michigan State next week, and then likely a Big Ten tournament and NCAA tournament. But what's going through your mind this weekend as you get set to broadcast your final baseball games at Illinois Field?
Well, a lot is going through my mind. Jeff Huth is on mic. Jeff, if you don't mind chiming in here, he's done this for 39 years, mm-hmm. and we're on Sports Talk, and it was kind of emotional. My longtime partner, mm-hmm. maybe not quite as long as you, but Eric Loy, who did the games with me on WDWS for many years, came out to the ballpark tonight kind of to say hey, and, you know, stuff like that. You think about it for an instant, but then, Jeff, you get back to the reality of how important this series is for Illinois and a chance to maybe extend my career, if you will, by getting into the tournament and going further.
And, Dave, I really hope that does happen for you. We both know how much fun it is to broadcast the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournaments. It's just kind of almost like a semi-reward for all the work that you certainly put in as the play-by-play guy for all the regular season games.
But everybody, you know, the fellas, you know, it's a reward for having a good season, kind of like a bowl game, if you will. But anyway, so thanks for asking, Matt. And, you know, it's, yeah, I kind of, as I was driving in, I thought, oh, it's probably my last Friday night game here. But who knows?
You can always come back to Illinois Field, Dave. You just don't have to broadcast the game.
You know that I will. You know that I will. So.
Joined by Dave Lone here. We only got a couple minutes before we actually have to pitch it to him for the call for Illinois baseball. So I'll wrap with this. We got Senior Day coming up on Sunday. 13 seniors, including a lot of key players on this team. And Dan Hartlib talked with us earlier this week, talking about how this was the group that's been here since they really got back on the national stage. They came in that 2015 or for that 2015 and the 2014 class, and now they're getting ready to graduate. What do you think about this class, and what do you think Illinois is losing with this class?
Well, I think they're certainly losing a lot of leadership. You look at a guy like Yelowitz, you know, who's been through it all and is a leader on this team, not just on the field, but in the dugout as well. Grant Vanscoy, who came on a little bit later, has been a key contributor, and guys like Zach Taylor. These are guys we look to every day to get the job done on the field. And but I will say it's an interesting mix, wouldn't you think, Jeff, as far as we've got a lot of young up-and-comers, too. You look at Kellen Sarver and guys like that. So it's an interesting mix, but I will certainly be glad to go out with this senior class because they're good kids.
And certainly tonight, Dave, is an example of that. We've got four freshmen in the lineup. One of them is a redshirt freshman, but, you know, four out of your eight position players on the field tonight are freshmen.
So, you know, we'll miss the senior class, but I think the future is bright, guys, for Dan Hartlib's roster, that's for sure.
Well, have fun on the call, guys.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
keep up
Dave.
The good
Thanks,
work.
Jeff.
Thanks for joining us, Dave. We'll hear you this weekend and hopefully for a few more weekends here as Illinois plays into the postseason. We are out of time. We got to get to Illinois baseball. Matt, thanks for joining me tonight.
Time flies when you're having fun, Evan.
Yeah, we'll find time to do it again.
Sounds good. Thanks, Evan.
As I said, Illinois baseball up next. No Illinois softball tomorrow, but we've got Illinois baseball through the weekend here on News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Scott Beatty's back with you next week, and we've got Little League Baseball starting next week. Me and Allie Adams have the call for the first game on Monday. All right, here on DWS. We'll see you.